Good evening. It is so good to be with you this evening. A couple of things before I begin. One is Henrietta here tonight by any chance? Is there a group from Henrietta? I just wondered. My wife and I are in the process of moving from one city to another, and that's where we're going to be going to church soon, and I was hoping that some of that group would be here so we could meet some of them beforehand. We've just attended over there once, and we have a few friends and family there. But that beside, you know, it's strange when you're speaking publicly and you get places and you notice things. And I sat down there for a minute. I realized I've been outside this afternoon working around a truck with my brother, and I looked down, and my shoes look horrible. Look at that. They're filthy. You're supposed to do those things before you go speak someplace, right? Oh, that's right. It's not any big deal. I do want to tell you that tonight, I want to affirm my love for my brother Arpoka and his wife Melinda. They are treasures to me. There are two men in my life that I'm very close to that are just like brothers. We might as well have just grown up together in the same house. One is Arpoka and the other one is Kim Wall. And those of you who attend services here, you're very familiar with Kim, and he's been here to speak to you. Incredible man, great, great knowledge about creation science. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. He's just a blessing to me in my life. And I know Arpoka has him coming to a retreat real soon. If you don't know him, if you don't know about the ministry he's doing, he is a member at the church in Choctaw, and he has a website called literalgenesis.net. And you need to go take a look at that because there's some very important information there. And I think it'll help to change your life. Okay? Turn with me to John chapter 10. That's where we're actually going to start. Arpoka tonight assigned me John chapter 11 and verse 25, and that's where we're going to end up tonight, John chapter 11, verse 25. Let me say, brother, leading singing tonight, if I could have picked your songs out for you, that would have been it. If you sang those songs with your heart tonight, man, you put a stamp on everything I'm fixing to share with you. And it amazes me the way God works in every day in the smallest, simplest things in life. God forbid that there be people out there always looking for some tremendous miracle to find the Lord. Because He's at work in our lives through each other. We make a difference in each other's lives. We change each other's lives. We lift each other up and we help to draw each other nearer to God. Isn't that a great and wonderful thing to know? Man, that's good to know. I need to be reminded of that. And I'm encouraged about that too. John chapter 10, and let's begin tonight in verse 1. Now I'm getting old. I have to take my glasses off to be able to see up close. John 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. And the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech because they did not understand what he was telling them. Pray with me one more time. God and Father, we come before you this evening as we present ourselves before your mighty throne. God, this life is not ours. It belongs to you. Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts and minds this evening, that we'll be able to garnish from your word riches beyond what the world around us can understand. Father, we long to draw closer to you so that you can draw closer to us. Father, we love your word, and we understand that within it is more power than we can even begin to grasp. Father, make it a living part of our day, every day, that you bless us with, that we might be able to raise a banner before the dark world around us in victory and glory and honor to you alone, Father. Father, forgive us, for often we have a humble arrogance about who we are. Father, we pray that you would strike that from our heart. Our goal is to share the love of your Son and you as our Father, to know your Word and to pour its riches into the lives of those that we come into contact with. Father, we just thank you, and we lay these at your feet through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are great things in this life, things that we can enjoy and be a part of. And there, you know, as we look at the things that we share together as Christians, those things affect us in different ways. Movies are one of those things, right? How many of y'all have seen The Matrix? Go ahead, don't be shy. You've seen The Matrix? I can't see your hands. Way up. It's okay. I won't shoot you, I promise. Okay? All right. Now, if you haven't seen The Matrix, I know you've seen Alice in Wonderland. Okay? I know you've seen Alice in Wonderland. At least you know the story. And the two are actually the same story, different book. Have you ever thought about that before? Things affect us, don't they? Let me say this. God has a way of using you in ways that you won't always understand. I am president of an organization called Good News International Foundation, which oversees funds that flow into the Ukraine for orphans and widows and several preachers there who are Ukrainian preachers and things. And Kim Wall is one of my board members, and we met about a week ago, and we're sitting around the table, and we were talking about things that we've been doing, and he had mentioned that he had been here to Seminole and how well things went and how great it was, and he said, "I understood you spoke there several months back," and I said, "I did. Worst sermon I ever gave in my life. They'll never ask me back." And here I am. And Chris is thinking, "Oh no, he is. Here he is again." But you know, you don't know what God has planned for you. You don't know where He's leading you. And it's one of the things about these verses that I want us to look at tonight, is because here in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech because they didn't understand what He was telling them. And it's a reminder of one of my favorite things I like to say, is sometimes you just don't get it, right? And when you don't get it, you don't get it till you get it. When you get it, you got it. Got it? Yeah, I didn't think so. See? That's hard. And sometimes we have to go through that again. When you don't get it, you don't get it till you get it. Then when you get it, you got it. You got it? See, you still don't get it. One of these days you'll get it. And then it will make sense. But as we look at these things, Jesus is talking to the people around Him, and they just don't understand. They don't get it. And I love it, because Peter's usually one of those guys. Sometimes it just doesn't sink in. And in my life, I've been in the same place just recently, because my life was going well in Tulsa, and everything is moving right along, and then suddenly things start to happen that make me very uncomfortable. I'm not enjoying my life at home, not because of my family and our relationships, but just because of neighbors and things in the house, you know, and it's just work constantly. And then even at my workplace, I'm becoming uncomfortable, and I'm not getting along with my boss, and I'm praying about that, and I'm pouring through things, and I'm very uncomfortable. And suddenly, I get this offer. Guess what? You can move to Okemah, Oklahoma. And I thought, what? Okemah? Why Okemah, Lord? And here I am, and I'm trying to figure out all these things of my own, and He's trying to tell me, Okemah, that's where you and your family need to be. And I'm trying to figure that one out, because you know what? I didn't get it. I didn't get it until I sat down and really started studying this lesson. Just like the people that Jesus is talking to here. There's some things here that you need to know and understand. And this ties actually back to the 8th chapter, verse 44, where he's talking about Satan when he's lying. He says he speaks his native language because he's a liar and he's a father of lies. And see, he's trying to convince us that the world that we live in is the real one. This world right here is the one that matters. And I want you to know, and I want you to understand tonight, young people, this world doesn't matter. The things that are physical in this world are unimportant. It's the world that we're tied into spiritually that matters. It's just like The Matrix or Alice in Wonderland. Right in The Matrix, it's kind of like Alice in Wonderland, and the guy, they're living in a computer type deal. Basically, machines that control the world. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it, adults? Right? And these people are plugged in, and they're providing the power, and they tell this guy, "You're nothing but a battery, but if you take this pill, you'll come out, you'll see the world, you'll know what reality is all about." And they hand and they say, "It's your choice. Do you follow the rabbit down the hole or not?" Now that makes sense to the rest of us who are older, doesn't it? Do you follow? Do you leave the world you know to get to the one that's real? And that's the question here. That is the question. Because as Jesus says, my sheep know who I am, and they will hear my voice. But if you're following Satan and the things that he puts in front of you, you lose track. You're just plugged into a system, and you are unimportant to the world around you. You're just comfortable. How many of you saw the presentation in Crystal Darkness? Did you see that? How many of you? Some of you did? Great story that reminded me of these verses, because there's a woman who was an RN and she had fallen in love with a gentleman, and somehow he gets hooked on meth. It's a true story. She's telling it, right? It was on one of the Channel 8 or something out of Tulsa. I don't know what channel in Oklahoma City. But she's talking about how much she wanted to understand the fight that he was going through. And he would take meth and he'd get off of it and he'd get back on it and he'd get on it and he'd get off of it and get on it. And she just couldn't understand. And she said, you know, I'm an RN. I understand. I can deal with things. I'm just going to take it once to see if I can even begin to empathize with the fight that he's battling here. So she takes it one time, and she says a few days later she realizes when she hangs up the phone what she's just done. She's just going to try it once. She's not going to ever touch it again. One try, one simple try, so she can understand just a little bit. Honey, on your way home, try to get some cash and bring some meth with you. And she hangs up the phone. See, we need to understand that when the father of lies steps in, when he comes in a way other than the gate to the sheep pen, and he's trying to lead us away, there are some things that are going to happen. One is, when you take that step out, you will never stop when you think you're going to stop. Sin will always take you further than you ever wanted to go. And when you get there, you might say, well, okay, I'm here, I'm going to get out. But you know what? Sin has a way of holding you longer, keeping you there longer than you wanted to stay. I guarantee you it will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and in the end, it will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. And suddenly you're trapped and you can't get out because you followed the father of lies, someone who snuck in and carried you away from the good shepherd. And so they don't understand. Verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am. Man, I love those words. That's one of those things. It doesn't matter what your age. I started to say young people. But you won't get it until you get it. When he says, I am the gate for the sheep, and all whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he will come in and go out and find pasture. Let me talk about that for just a minute. See, as we follow friends who think they know what's best for us, and we make decisions that aren't the right ones, we're going out and we're trying to look for what's good, right? We're trying to have some fun. One of the biggest things my generation told me as a teenager was they tried to tell us how, you know, all sin's horrible. It's bad, bad, bad. It's a mistake. All that is correct, but they never had, very few ever had the heart to say, you know how you get there? Because sin is fun. Only by ignorance do we ignore that. And I'm telling you right now, sin is fun. You know the problem is? It's fun getting there. It's hard and it hurts and it's full of pain and misery to get away from it. Because it'll take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. It doesn't work any other way. But here we are, and what's really happened is we walked into this big green, this big brown lot, right? And there's no grass. And we're trying to plant something. Oh, this is good. Let's take this. Yeah. Okay, we're going to plant. Yeah, we're going to, and then we can't figure out why nothing's growing in our lives. We can't figure out why we're always hurting and why we're always lonely and why nobody wants to talk to us and why our friends are always doing things that are hurting us because they're turning their back on us and nothing just seems right. And I seem afraid and alone too much, and I don't like it. And Jesus says, you listen to me, listen to my voice, and I will take you to green pasture, to a place that is full of life, to a place that's full of truth and honesty and good and the things that you need to enjoy this life. Because He said, what? I come that you're what? Maybe complete? What? Our polka? Our joy, right? It's hard to say things when you got a little one crawling all over your lap. I've come that your joy might be complete. Man, what a thing to understand. God has something better waiting for us. And see, like a big dummy, I was getting on my knees at night and praying, Lord, I don't want to go to Okemah. What's in Okemah? There's nothing but a pizza out there. There's Armazio's. It's not even a pizza. It's Armazio's. And there's nothing else. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm in Tulsa. There are good things there. I don't want to go to Okemah. And you know what was happening? Is I was standing out in a brown patch of land, and I'm trying to plant grass, and nothing's growing. And the Lord's saying, Keith, wake up. Do you get it? And I'm thinking, I get it, Lord. And He's thinking, no, you don't. Go where I lead you. I have work and I have ministry for you. And I have things to fill your life up. And you're not listening to me. And I wasn't getting it because I was looking for what I wanted and my ways and my ideas and my concepts instead of what the Lord wanted me to do. Verse 9 again, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. And he will come in and go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Or I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, Jesus didn't intend for us to be without. He didn't intend for us to be alone and hurting and by ourselves in this world. He intended for us to have a life that is full and abundant and full of joy and being able to laugh. And you know what? My 10-year-old reminded me this week. He was a little heartbroken because he came in and he said, Mom, Dad, I want to know where the verse is. And we had to talk about it for a while because he said, there's got to be a verse in the Bible that says, God laid His head back and laughed. I like that idea. It's kind of neat. But what He said is, I come that your joy might be complete. He wants us to enjoy this life, to be able to smile, to be able to laugh, to be able to walk in a life that brings us good things. A man once told me, he said, show me where the Bible says anywhere that God gives us anything. He provides us all we need for life and godliness. I said, brother, you need to go home and read Matthew chapter 6 and 7. Everything we have belongs to and came from our Father because He wants us to have a full, abundant, and joyful life. That's what He means for us. And when we're not there, it's because we haven't given Him the opportunity to be our Savior. All right, turn with me to chapter 11. I'm almost done. Are you glad? Got hamburgers. Right? I'm gonna finish quick, okay? I promise. The scenario here is Lazarus is dead. He's gone. His sisters and family and friends are with him and he's left this world. And so the message comes to Jesus. And when he gets it, the apostles don't understand. They don't get it. You know, it's right back to that saying again, right? If you don't get it, you're not going to get it till you get it. When you get it, you'll get it. You got it? Right? You can say that 100 ways. It still all means the same thing. Verse 21 of chapter 11. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And see, I want you to understand that I've been in this recently. Because I was trying to think, you know, Lord, if you had been here, I wouldn't be having to sell my house and move. Now, there are other reasons that I can explain to you why I'm moving. Family and trying to be close to them and taking care of them. And plus, I'm only going to be 15 minutes away from Arpoka. That's going to be good. And Melinda. But I was trying to say, Lord, if you'd been here, if you'd have just done this, if you'd have just done that, if you'd have just helped me do this, if you'd have just, you know, taken care of this, why would I have to make this choice? Just like her, I didn't get it. It's not always my way. It's not always the way I want things. Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And I'm saying, Lord, I want another answer. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, now here's what I love. And this comes down to the verse that Arpoka assigned to me tonight. Okay? Right up there. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you understand what he was saying? He looked into the eyes of a sister who was hurting because her brother was dead. And he looks at her and he says, Martha, do you get it? Because why, she had all the right answers and all the right words, and man, it scares me to death because you know what? Sometimes this seems just like me. I grew up in a preacher's home and I've been in the pulpit, and sometimes I've got all the right answers and I've got all the right words, but you know what? Sometimes I just don't get it because my heart's not where it needs to be. Because I'm making selfish decisions and not the ones that allow me to follow the Savior like I'm supposed to. And he's saying, Martha, do you get it? Nothing in this life matters except for the fact that you know and understand that I am the resurrection and the life. I can do it all. I can give it all to you. I am it. Nothing else matters. This life is temporary. It will end. And then what are you going to do? And his question to her was simply, do you believe this? And see how I said that? And I guarantee you, Jesus looked at Martha and said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? As a friend, one to another, do you believe this? Have you ever looked at one of your friends that maybe at first thought you were lying or not telling the truth? And you just wanted to look into their eyes. You want to see them eye to eye and say, do you believe me? Do you believe me? I want you to know, young people, right now, Jesus tonight in this place at this time is looking at you and He wants to know, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and life. The Father of lies, He's coming to steal from you joy and fullness and life everlasting. But I'll lead you to green pastures. I'll lead you to what is good and right and whole. And the resurrection and the life, the beginning of what is meaningful. Leave this world behind and begin life with me. And man, it makes me want to stand up and cheer and say, yes, I will. Because, like the songs, Think about the words of the song. Faithful love flowing down to me, to Keith Thompson, even though I'm not worth it. Faithful love to a man who doesn't deserve the love that Christ has given to him. Don't let Satan steal from you the joy that God intended when you get it that He is the resurrection and the life. All right. How many of you got cell phones in your pocket? Let me see your hands. Adults and young people alike. All right, take them out. Take them out. I know I can see some of the faces in the adults and are thinking, what in the world is he fixing to do? Did you know that there was a conference recently and that email now is considered communication for grandparents? And some of y'all are laughing. And some of the older ones are laughing. Some of the younger ones are laughing because they're saying, yeah, he's right. Now I want you to pull that out and look at it. And I want you to go through the list of your contacts. Guys, you have the resurrection and the life. Who in that list can you share Jesus with? One little short message as I close. You can start typing it. Hey, I've got something I need to tell you about. Go ahead. Don't feel uncomfortable. God blesses us with tools to bring Him glory. You need to look. Everything that you have, you should be thinking, how can I share the life of my Savior to bring them out of a life that Satan is stealing from to a life where He says, I will bring fullness and joy. Man, you got something that is incredible to share. How often do you do it? And Jesus looks at us and says, do you believe? Do you believe? If we can help you tonight, set your life right, or be united in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, to understand that you're a part of that resurrection, that He is being resurrected within you to begin a life that others may not understand, that Satan will try to steal. If you continue to read through John, he tells them, in my language, there's a storm coming. And I told you these things so that you'll know. John chapter 16. You go look at it and see if it doesn't say that. Be prepared for the things that are coming your way. Allow the Good Shepherd to make sure that you're a part of the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come as we stand and sing. Wonderful message.